I think that because Filipinos are so, like, we have so much pent-up anger and resentment towards corruption, I think they are like the scapegoat right now, di ba? Parang, I think a lot of Filipinos have found, like, finally I can blame someone. And that, I think that gives us a little sense of redemption that we get to shit on these people. Like, I saw some people being very critical about how they look and how a lot of these nepo babies have like plastic surgery, they're fixing their nose, or some of them
Or the
are on
lack of plastic surgeries,
or
because some of them,
the
as Redditors pointed out,
yeah.
are already rich but can't afford to fix their faces or something like that.
Yeah, or there was that other girl who was chubby, and people were saying mean things like, "Why isn't she the flood control project? Let's just make her stop the
Jesus
flood."
Christ, he's
I know, it's
terrible.
crazy. It's
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcast, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new client. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious marketing and management tasks in your agency for less than $15 an hour, fully managed. When you're tired of hiring cheap, unreliable talent, check out ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune into None of Your Business. New episodes monthly.
Good morning, everyone, especially to all of my listeners in the Philippines, and maybe for Filipinos who are abroad, our dear OFWs. Good morning, and welcome to another episode of None of Your Business. So, I actually was super excited to record this podcast with one of my dear friends, Jesse Boga. He is a PR writer who practices journalism and PR. Public relations. He mostly writes about sustainability and fashion. But today, him and I are gonna sit down and talk about this big issue in the Philippines of corruption, nepo babies or children that are in families that have a lot of wealth and who flaunt it excessively on social media, and a lot of issues on lifestyle checks of these families, politicians, all of these connections, and how we feel, honestly, as Filipinos and taxpayers. So, welcome, Jesse. How are you today?
Thank you, Carla, for inviting me to the show. I'm doing well. I'm very happy to connect with you this week and to unpack thoughts and feelings about what's happening all around us. It's crazy because you
Yeah.
know what they say, right? The world is on fire, but we are still buying shoes.
I love that quote because, even during the pandemic, I was still buying shoes and lipstick, and I just went through this spiral of consumerism. But let us give our listeners a little bit of background. So you, as a normal working Filipino, no, working Filipino, just going on with your day, how did you find out about this issue, and what were your feelings about it, your initial feelings about it?
Well, before I begin, I just wanted to say that the world is on fire, but we're still buying shoes is not an original quote by me. It's a title of a book by fashion critic Alec Leach. So if he's like a person that I look up to and when it comes to fashion and sustainability. But going back to just answering the question, I feel like my heart feels heavy and there's a lot of confusion and confused anger really about why all of this is happening. Because on one hand, we're kind of happy that there's a certain level of transparency enabled by media platforms. But on the other, it's maddening that it points us towards a reality that's really hits close to home. That all of this, all of the experiences of fellow Filipinos when it comes to disasters and being vulnerable to all of these environmental risks, no, and flooding, typhoon, they are all real and they are made worse because of the infrastructure that is imaginary.
Right. So the big issue for our listeners was that these families, there are a couple of families that are somehow tied allegedly to corruption because their names are, and these families own certain construction companies and companies that are supposed to do flood control projects and other projects that are supposed to benefit the Filipino people, like roads, bridges, things like that. These things have to operate on like hundreds of millions in pesos and probably billions actually in pesos, which is about $100 million, hundreds of millions of dollars in budgets. But it seems like these projects are not even done right. Some of them are ghost projects and we're finding out about this. So where does the money go? And of course, the issue is like, so these families, the children, the parents, they seem to have a very excessive lifestyle, excessively wealthy lifestyle, and they can't, it's funny that they just can't help but flaunt their wealth despite the big income gap, despite the big contrast to how most of the Filipinos are suffering in poverty, and not just poverty, suffering more in their day-to-day lives because of badly built roads, bridges, flood control projects. So I think that's really what is maddening, right? It's like, why they can't help but flaunt their private jets, their designer watches, shoes, outfits. So as a PR practitioner, why do you think some wealthy people in the Philippines, or especially those from political families or people with ties to these projects, why do you think they just can't help but flaunt their wealth online? Like, why can't you just be rich and quiet? Like, I'd imagine if I was super rich, you will never find me on social media.
I know. Yeah. I think I'd live the same life. I'd live a very private life if I were like super rich.
Yeah.
Because then we'd be together and we'd be
exactly.
We'd be offline.
Yeah.
I guess I'd like to start by saying that the kind of messaging that we see online about lavish lifestyles, they're all locked in a circle. And I'm saying this from a communication scholar's perspective, that all of these nepo babies, we say, are using media to gratify their self-worth, their sense of being, and their purpose, right? So they use media to communicate this, and they and to communicate their lifestyle, and they feel a sense of achievement every time people comment and express an interest in the content that they produce.
Right.
Because in the bigger picture, we as a community still look up to them as aspirational figures, in the sense that our definition of success is that exactly, buying luxury items, living a good life, and all of that. And so their use of these media platforms continue, and they are able to sustain their influencer practice. And in the long run, I guess that detaches them from reality and like a sense of transparency, or like being critical about their practice. They are not able to maybe see the big picture or the knock-on effect of the content they produce. They keep on talking about lifestyle, luxurious lifestyles, but where are they exactly, and in what context are they producing all of those content, right?
Yeah, I guess. I guess also because the stuff that you post, the things that you really get validation from is mostly from your close friends, like first. Right?
Right.
So you get validation from your close friends first. So if you look good, if they comment, you're hot, you look good, something like that. Or wow, that's such a nice, wonderful time, you know, during your vacation. So there's that someone would be craving from like their immediate circle. But because what you said, and some of these kids are grew up in a very like wealthy environment already, a lot of them are just super detached to the reality of most Filipinos. So they are insensitive, but to be honest, you know, I'll give them a little bit of grace. To be honest, I think they might be unconscious about
Exactly.
about this gap. So I'll give you an example. I have a friend, we were, drinking. This was like a few years ago, and we were talking about Europe. And I told him, hey, I've never visited Europe and I would love to plan a trip. And we were just like, we were drinking, we were like casually just talking. And I was like, do you want to go to Europe together? And this guy has a long-term relationship with another guy. So they're like a gay couple and they're very fashionable. And I told them, I would love to go to Europe with you guys and you can teach me all of your like fashion stuff. And they're like, okay, let's check the prices of flights. And so we all got on our phone and checked the prices of flights. And I was like, oh, what if we go on this date and this month I'm seeing like $3,000 like round trip. Is that a good deal? And then he said, huh, what airline is that? I'm only seeing like minimum $15,000. I'm like, oh, this airline. And then we were both so confused. Turns out he was looking at first class flights and I was looking at economy flights. So it was so funny in the same moment we were both confused why we were getting very different prices. But in my reality, the first thing I check is an economy flight. And then eventually I would work my way up a business class with some points and miles. But that is my default. And his default, because he grew up rich, is first class flights. And that's just his default.
Right.
Like he was so amazed that he thought I was so savvy finding a $3,000 flight. No, I'm not savvy, I'm just poor. So that is a very granular moment, no, of how our realities can be so different. As a regular Filipino, what is the effect of these posts of excessive wealth to you? Especially, because you and I have experienced just getting by, like paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah, they do impact me in the sense that when we look at these things, we don't we take them as we take these content in as their own value. We don't we are not as critical, and we see them as aspirational, and even like protect or like defend the influencers that we look up to, and say that and say things like, they earned. They worked hard for all of that. No, we fail to see how choreographed all of these content that we see in social that they very heavily edited. So many other things are omitted, and we don't get to see the bigger picture or the whole story. We just see one angle, and it's them flaunting their lifestyles, and it's us associating that piece of the story with success, with living a good life, when in fact a good life is not exactly limited to like just shopping, right? Just buying designer clothes. It's protecting your peace. It's being finding time with your family, pursuing your dreams, and all of that. Instead, what is being focused in our understanding and consumption of their content is success, being able to achieve like a hype, a successful business, earning lots of money, regardless of the process to get there. And so that really puts a low regard, on transparency and accountability.
I think also the like backbone of that is us tying money to your value in society, diba? So, because in the past, for so many years, obviously we are our brains are still catching up to internet and all of the oversharing, parasocial relationships. I think we are still catching up to the effects of that to our brain. But over like centuries, the money or currency is a symbol of the value that you bring to the society. So even if the oldest profession, which is prostitution, thereby you are paid for sex work. So that is the value that you're paid for. So we already, as humans, have an understanding that if you have money, you have value to the society. And then I think our brains are still catching up with this excessive displays of wealth and this amount of access to these people's private lives. Like we have videos of I think that was Claudine Ko, of her very raw thoughts in this private jet. And she's not censoring herself. She's just sharing, she's just taking us with her. in this private jet trip, and then she was saying some really raw thoughts about, oh, you know what, maybe we should have brought the Iberico ham or something. And then
Yeah, I
she was
saw that.
asking, yeah, right? So it is obviously very raw. These are her real thoughts in real time, and we're watching this happen in with a backdrop of a private jet, and that is insane to have that access to this person that you don't know at all. So, but now they're being in, people are being critical, and they're under very, very critical lens because of the families they belong to and their connections to these multi-million dollar projects. So I think now is a good time to talk about wealthy people and how they look like in public, especially if you're connected to some political families. So as a PR practitioner, let's put on your PR lens. Why do these people with all of their money never seem to invest in proper PR training before posting? Like they have a lot of, I saw a lot of really cringe posts in my opinion. And
Right.
yes, I practice PR, but I'm not that, you know, I'm not that good at it, or I'm not as seasoned as you.
Well, thank you for trusting my lens to be able to answer that question. My easy answer is they never see public image as something to protect. Rather, it's something that they want to just flaunt and celebrate without second thought. You know, like every time these, for example, any rich person who just flaunts their lifestyle in social media, they're not really thinking about the implications of or the long-term effects of the content that they produce. Like, does this affect their sense of security? Does this put them at risk of being impersonated, or are they putting out deep personal details about their lives that could make them vulnerable? So PR is not something that I find is not something that there's a need for them at the moment, because they already feel the lives that they live, you know? PR or like a sen or any sense of communication infrastructure to keep them safe becomes an afterthought, right? It only comes in usually in the form of crisis communication when they're already in trouble. But like there is communication part of it, which is like considering the communication mechanisms to keep them safe, to avoid crisis or conflict, is not a part of their creative process. Because when they produce all of this content, all they want to do is to just choreograph a look, edit like a narrative, a story, or just think about how they want to go viral. It's not part of their creative process to think about like the implications. Oh, will I get in trouble if I publish this? Right? And what makes it worse is they do not have what I like to refer as internal critics, or like a fellow critics who would play a devil's advocate whenever they publish something. Like, I like that you and I have that kind of relationship, that we consult each other. Hey, what do you think about this, the story or this post, right? And then we unpack that and talk about what the could have been, or what could the possibilities. They don't have that. They just want their followers. They just want to go viral, and they just want to show off their latest Chanel bag. And I think that's crazy, because they are not like normal people. They are already set up in an environment, in a family, in a net, in a social network that is looped in on like public trust, right? They're contractors, they're working with the government, like they use public resources, and now it's being channeled to fuel their lifestyles. So it's maddening.
Yeah, and as more scandals come up, like I think some of the Dzhokhar family luxury cars, I think were found to have been recorded when they entered the country, like these cars as like ground beef. Like I don't know if you saw that. But apparently there's not proper like paperwork, or they're still digging it up, no, allegedly. So I don't want to get in trouble. But they're still digging up like the proper paperwork for these luxury cars. And that interaction, that public interview of the Dzhokhar lady who was saying, "Oh, I bought a Rolls-Royce because I like the umbrella." It's so detached, and honestly, it's so cringe. And this is why I can't blame the kids, no, the Nepo babies, the younger generation, because I think a lot of their parents or their elders are doing the same thing, like excessive flaunting of wealth for quick dopamine. Sometimes I feel like, what is it for? Like, everyone already knows you're rich. How many times do you have to mention that you're rich?
That you're rich.
I really don't understand. When I compare this to actual rich families that we know, for example, these legacy families in Davao City that have owned farms and a lot of legacy brands, they don't need to repeat all the time. I actually looked at some of these, because some of these people are our friends, diba? I actually look at their Facebook. They barely post. They barely talk about their lives compared to these big families that have ties to these flood control projects, like public highways projects. I'm almost like embarrassed for them. But you're right, it's like they have arrogance, and like they have like a no one can tell them no kind of air because of their privilege and how rich they are. So these kids are considered influencers because they have tons of followers. So what do you think these rich kids, why do you think they became influencers? Who do you think are they influencing? And do you personally think they have influence?
That's a very easy question for me to answer from a PR perspective, you know, or like even like as like someone who practices sustainable fashion communication, when we are to be critical about influencer messaging, they're all really just still operating under the idea of like consumption, like they're buying, showing it off, and like telling people that, hey, this is what I have. If you work as hard as I do, you too can like also shop these expensive things. So what they're doing essentially is really just participating in the consumption culture that just goes around, whether it's in fashion, in cars, or in food even, right? So they're all really rooted in consumption, being able to participate and shell out and to buy things and to get that high when you go shopping. Like influencers, they're telling you about the lives that they live and the things that they buy, nothing more than that. I
Yeah,
mean,
true.
there's not an iota of like personal style that they communicate, right? I mean, you've
Honestly,
seen their content. It's all just
they don't have style.
consumption. I
Yes.
don't even like feel inspired by the looks that they assemble, but like beyond that, it's really just consumption. It's just them buying, using money, and then really just putting themselves in a pedestal so that people can look up to them as aspirational figures, which is problematic in itself because as I say it, our idea of success continues to be that, being able to buy fancy things.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, I think that you're right about this. There's no like additional thinking involved. It's actually a little sad how there's nothing that they want to be known for or famous for aside from someone who buys stuff. And I've seen a lot of these TikTok influencers also in the States, where these platforms are actually paying people. So in a way you could say, oh, maybe that's their job, no, as a content creator. But in the Philippines, monetization is actually very small.
Absolutely.
It's very, very small. Yes, you can make money, but you know, it's not it, it is it, it's very hard. Like, I think you need probably 10 million views to even get like $500 or something like that, which is very, very hard to do. Very hard to do. So I think that when I look at the posts of these people as well, like that lady who had a 700,000 pesos dinner and there was just two of them.
Yeah,
And
it's crazy.
that is crazy. And then that girl who got, I think, a Benz or a BMW for her birthday, and she was like, "Thank you, Daddy." And I feel like I'm in a very different world. And it as a business owner who has worked really hard to make the money that I make and have not reached that level of consumption, it honestly like makes me mad. And this is why I support people and these organizations and even these subreddits that try to check the lifestyles of these influencers. So, influence in that word means like power, right? Power over something, power over someone. How dangerous do you think it is when influence is rooted in wealth that may be tied to corruption? What paint us some worst case scenarios of what could happen, in your opinion?
Right now, what I see is that influencer culture is limiting our sense or skill of being able to think critically beyond the narrative that's being presented to us. When we have like people like Claudine Ko, for example, on a pedestal, she has the machinery and the followers, the voice, like even the fashion media covers her. She's able to dictate in a way what good life should be, right? And it limits our way of thinking, and that ultimately just influences our action. It limits us and the way the many possibilities that we can do to be productive member of society. And so collectively, the kind of thinking that all of us have as Filipinos become somewhat frail, that we feel helpless. And ultimately, this is being even made worse by the condition experience. Natural disasters. It's a very small stab that is just persistent for every time we access these kinds of media. So it's not really a worst case scenario, but it's like poison, right? Which eventually leads to that.
For me, I think like internally, the worst case scenario that I can think of is honestly that these people would harm themselves because of how critical we are. And I think a lot of them have first never see this coming. No, they never saw this coming. Like this week, I'm in my private jet. I'm going to this resort with my Chanel bag and my boyfriend, and we're gonna post 5,000 stories. And then next week, I'll be under this microscope, public microscope. So I think that a lot of, because Filipinos are so, like, we have so much pent up anger and resentment towards corruption. I think they are like the scapegoat right now, di ba? Parang, I think a lot of Filipinos have found, like, finally I can blame someone. And that, I think that gives us a little sense of redemption. That we get to shit on these people. Like I saw some people being very critical about how they look and how a lot of these nepo babies have like plastic surgery. They're fixing their nose, or some of them
Or the
are on,
lack of plastic surgeries,
or
because some of
the
them, as Redditors pointed out, are already rich but can't afford to fix their faces or something like that.
Yeah, or there was that other girl who was chubby, and people were saying mean things like, "Why isn't she the flood control project? Let's just make her stop the
Jesus
flood."
Christ, these
I know, it's
terrible.
crazy. It's crazy about Filipinos. We are we have crazy humor, right? Which I really love. And I think Filipinos can be really creative in general. That's why we make really good wedding photographers and videographers. But we can also be creative about our insults. And I actually found that a bit entertaining. But also, I cannot help but think that some of these people are just kids, and I do feel a little bit afraid that they might harm themselves. And this is why I want to be careful about the messages that I put out there. And another thing is, I ask myself, like, how do these people feel? No, can you imagine someone who has built your life around your influencer lifestyle? Because they don't really have jobs, and I also don't see any passion that they have. And imagine just all of that being take or being used to insult you, and then you thinking, who are my actual real friends? Or do my close friends somehow think that all of this is ill-gotten wealth? Do I really even have the respect of the people around me? Like, what about my maid when I tell her to do this, or my driver to do that? Do they even, like, what do they think about me? So I think that it's very easy to go into these spirals. And honestly, that I think about this sometimes, like, what are they really thinking? How are they really feeling in the midst of all of this? Like,
Yeah.
it's
You're
troubling.
really right that to bring this up. I'm especially very concerned with the amount of hate that they're getting and how they're trying to maybe, I don't know, process or block it at some point. Because I guess the conversation is never going to be fully controlled by collectively, right? But they have like the option to just shut it down, close their ears and all that. I guess the kind of criticism that is important at this point is at the system. And we still really need to remember that all of these people, right, they're still human, but we need to converse with them in a way that it shatters their veil, but does not really like stab them in the heart.
Yeah, that.
I'm just trying to be human here.
Yeah.
Of course I'm mad.
Yes.
Of course it's natural for us to be frustrated because
Yes.
everything else around us is crumbling, and then these people are living lifestyles. But then, it's just as important to be human at this point, and for them to also be that.
Yeah. I think that's also what is, I think they're in a freeze moment, to be honest, because once again, they don't have PR training. So they probably just don't know what to do right now. But thinking exercise, Jesse, what if this Nepo baby was you? With the knowledge that you have now, what would you do? Like, just a thinking exercise.
Yeah, I thought about that earlier. This is a very difficult crisis communication episode.
Right?
None of the theories that I have on hand are going to help me save my ass. The best part, the best thing for me to do really at this point is to just shut down, be silent, and to
Yeah,
redeem
wait for
myself
it. Yeah.
very slowly at
Yeah.
some point in the future. Like impact the lives of the many. Give back to the community, exercise transparency and accountability. But you know, even with all of those efforts, people are still not going to believe you instantly. They're not going to welcome you with open arms right
Exactly.
away.
Exactly. And I think that is really the part where I think I am so happy I have my life over theirs, because that is a feeling that will not leave you forever. Like, forever questioning who your real friends are. Oh my gosh. Yeah. I cannot have, I cannot. Maybe this is why I'm worried about them, because I know what I would probably feel. I would probably, I would probably consider self-harm if that happened to me. But
Yeah,
I'm
it's
thinking,
worrisome.
it's very sad. It's very sad. It's worrisome. And that feeling is not, it's not something that you can just, like, pop a pill or, and that's another thing that would be scary. In their intention to regulate their feelings, what if they try to numb their feelings through alcohol or drugs? Diba? That is another thing that would be harmful. Pero I think a lot with your suggestion, I think I would also do the same. I'll quietly just deactivate everything. I'll probably go overseas or something, and cause I have this fantasy that I'll do a documentary, like, watch me go from 1,000 pesos to 1 million in 1 year. But then that's me thinking with the skills that I have now as a business person. So if I was truly them, di ba, parang I wanted to do, like, okay, watch me make this money. I want to show you I can do it.
I
But
can
at
do
the
it,
same
right?
At yeah, at the same time, that is me thinking with my skills right now. If I was just a Nepo baby with no skills, yeah, I don't know what I'm
It's
going to do.
difficult.
It's difficult to prove myself. Yeah.
And because at this point, everything that they will do will be taken against them. People's lives have already been taken. So many communities have been displaced. And like
Yeah.
the flood, all of the effects of the natural disasters have already taken place.
Yeah.
And It's not like if they sell their Chanel bag, I think that's a third or
For
fourth time
charity.
we've been mentioning a Chanel bag, right? If they sell their Chanel bag and like do a like medical driver feeding, it's not gonna change anything. So there's a bigger parang problem here, and it's a system. And of course, that's a very abstract problem for us to face. And so we are left with this conversation right now, the conversation on the internet, which is important because it helps us understand what's happening. It helps us to be critical. That's why these conversations need to continue. But these conversations don't have to continue at the cost of like more lives.
Actually, the other night when I was reading about this, all of this issue, I went to ChatGPT and I told ChatGPT, hey, if I want to code an app that will help this issue, I want an app that people can all access and people can drop their PDFs of the government projects. And then I want the app to use like AI to compare the prices and the quotes to like the regular price of cement per sack, di ba mga ganon, or the
Right.
regular price, like, and then the app will give a rating on whether the prices were honest. And it was a very simple idea. I actually ChatGPT
I
gave
like
me
that.
a whole plan. And I hope that, and I know that I'm not the first person who thought of this because it is true. Like hardware prices are, that can easily be public information, like Ace Hardware, any hardware. We all know
Right.
how much a sack of cement costs or a kilo of nails or, di ba?
Right.
But we all know how much these cost, a day's work of a construction worker. We all know how much these cost. So it's actually probably not that difficult to make all of this information public. And honestly, this for me, tying to the original question, I think this is the only way. If there is one of these Nepo babies who can champion this app or transparency, good luck, no? I don't think they will. They'll probably try to shut this podcast down. But I think that is the only, if they can, there's one person who can be the hero. I think that is the only way that they can redeem themselves. But the funny part is, I think there's only space for one person to do
Right,
that.
right. And I like the idea of being able to just leverage technology to like find a solution. But my question Siguro for you would be where exactly do we start? Like who is the best person among all of the parties involved to step forward from their end and say, you know what, we're very willing to make things right. How do we do it? Where do we start? They are still going to be met with lots of rage. But who do you think should like just step forward and like be that face of change from their end?
Honestly, I really hope it's these, because I'm thinking of incentive as well. So I really hope that it's these big business owners. I hope it's the C's. I hope it's the Ayalas, because these are champions of wealth that they've built through generations and wealth that, and I think they are the perfect people to also, obviously they have their CSR, I don't know, their CSR departments. I think they're the most capable. They have all the budget to champion this and even fund that app that I was probably thinking about. Hi C's, hi Ayala.
Correct.
And then, but also I think that them as business owners, I think there's also something for them to gain, to be honest. Because at the end of the day, if these flood control projects are only given to 10 families, for example, that 10 construction companies or whatever you call these companies, I bet the Ayalas, the Tans, or whatever, I bet they have some business that can compete in terms of pricing. I bet because of economies of scale. In terms of lending their expertise, I bet these are the companies with resources and access to these types of people, especially these big real estate companies like the SM Development, like Ayala, Villar, all of these companies. So one, they have the incentive, they have the resources, and I think they still have something to gain if this gets fixed. In my opinion, ha, I mean,
Right. Because they have
I'm just
already
an
set the
online
standard.
influencer. Yes.
I mean, They have already set the standard of what
Exactly,
like
di
a
ba?
project would look like, the
Exactly.
budget involved, the resources involved. I mean,
Yes.
it's from a private sector's lens, but
Yeah.
it makes sense because all of these businesses, if you think about it, one also want to make the most out of the resources that they put in a project. So if they are to, for example, spend like this much for like a wall, for example,
Yeah,
they would know that they're economical about it and they are not going to go beyond like that said budget to compromise quality or to
Exactly.
just get to gain something from it because their public image, the
Yes.
trust in them is at
Yes.
stake.
Exactly. So once again, I think that's another benefit of being a publicly traded company, because the value of your stock is also dictated by public opinion, di ba? So there's some sort of self correcting mechanism in a way. And well, I'm really getting excited about this brainstorming. But
They
it is
better listen
just,
to
they
us.
better listen. I'm gonna send this to, I know, their family, actually. Charot. No, but I think that would really be, and at the end of the day, trickle down, di ba? Trickle down benefits. Like, at the end of the day, if they can protect the regular taxpayer, that is actually their customer, di ba?
Right?
That's the one lining up at Save More, at Watson's.
Yes, that's us.
That's us trying to get to the 3-day sale, di ba?
Yeah.
So we can pay more VAT to, to the Nepo babies. But
Yeah.
yeah, honestly, of course, these are very simplistic brainstorming from two nobodies in this podcast, you and me. But I really hope that, something gets done. I honestly support a revolution, whatever that looks like. I hope we don't lose lives, but whatever, because I've been reading on Reddit, can we be how can we brainstorm on ways on how to start a revolution? Or how can we keep this conversation going?
I love that.
So
I love that. I'm all about like the idea of a revolution without people's lives at stake. And like with the technology that we have right now, the amount of creativity that we have, and the number of people who want to or genuinely who are genuine in their intention to see change, the possibilities are endless for a revolution. It doesn't have to be, it doesn't have to happen on the
people
streets.
power. Yeah.
Right? Yeah, it
Yeah.
doesn't, the revolution does not have to happen on the streets, or it doesn't have to involve blood. It can happen in the way we talk, you know, the way we peddle conversations and the
Right.
way we collectively create this environment in social media where we are now more critical about the content that we consume and produce, and we become more intentional about the messages that we send out. Like if you're an influencer, you make it a part of your mantra, right? To
Right.
produce stories that inspire people and to be transparent with your lifestyle and
Yeah.
to not enable corruption. It can be that. It can be the revolution. The revolution can be in the conversation, and that's the beauty in it.
Yeah, I think that also, because now that this issue is public, I think people will forever resent these families, these last names, no, the anything that's connected. That's why there was that one vlogger, I think it was Camille Ko, who kept repeating, "I'm not related to them, I'm not."
Yeah,
But
it's
and it's funny because her
hilarious.
name is also Camille, diba, letter C, so everyone probably just
Yeah.
thought they're probably sisters with
Yeah,
Claudine
yeah.
Ko, yeah, the one who was really
Yeah,
under.
even I get confused.
Yeah, exactly. And then, it's crazy, because I think that these families, these names, will their the bad reputation, unfortunately, will be there forever, unless they do something drastic, like what I said. Like, if there is one person who will be like the rebel and will be like, "No, I will strip myself off of wealth, and I will work at Jollibee, and I will show
Right.
everyone," diba?
That would be worth filming.
Exactly. That's why I said the parang if I was one of these kids, I will probably start a documentary and try to show everyone that I can do it. But I'm actually secretly buying like Bitcoin, and praying and praying that it will grow. Because I honestly I think that is their only ticket to wealth. If they actually strip themselves off of wealth and get a regular job, it will be
Yes.
very hard. It will be very hard to catch up.
Well, I'm just glad that we're not nepo babies. And you know what?
Are
This
you?
whole episode.
For real?
Yeah. And you know what this episode is teaching me is really like I'm learning it from you. I like the idea that, you know, we at the end of the day really need to be critical about the businesses that we support. Like, you know, go for the businesses that are ran by like entrepreneurs who are building from scratch, who are working their asses off. Like, why would you keep supporting a business ran by like someone who is in the loop of corruption? It's insane.
Exactly. And the funny thing is, like, these companies don't actually need like public opinion, diba? Because they just have these hush-hush agreements with probably some government or department officials, like whatever DPWH, whatever department is approving this these projects. So it's annoying, it's maddening how they are even isolated from what we patronize as services. So I think I actually read this subreddit about like how can we make a revolution out of this. Some of them were suggesting that we should just mass report their social media accounts, and because typically the social media platforms will disable their accounts so that they don't get like the dopamine, and we should watch if they post again, and we should like flood it with comments again of like public opinion. And I think there are experiences right now of people like throwing eggs into like their offices or
Yeah, and
starting
like actual rallies, yeah.
rallies. Exactly. And I think and obviously some people have funny ideas, like they will catfish their boyfriend and they like
That's
something like
hilarious.
that. I don't know what else could be done, aside from what you said also about let's be critical of the people we follow. Let's continue having this conversation and support businesses, especially small businesses, huh? Because obviously, like the Ayalas, they already have the money forever and ever. But like, supporting your neighbor, like who sells cement or something like that, thinking about
Right.
them
Carla,
first.
do you sell cement?
No, unfortunately,
Oh,
I will
that's too
start.
bad. I wanted to buy cement from you
Me
so
too. I
bad.
want to buy nails. Do you sell nails? And I
Like
know. What
fingernails.
about bridge? Do you sell a bridge? Because I was gonna buy. I was gonna fund the whole Davao Samal, but you
I
don't.
love that.
So it's crazy. So in terms of like that topic of coverage, media coverage, and documentaries, so how much blame should we place on mainstream media and online platforms that glorify these lifestyles instead of questioning them? I actually saw some lifestyle magazines talk about some of these businesses that were so obviously like just glorified pieces.
Right. Well, I wouldn't go as far as blaming them. I would I like to use the word engage instead. Because if you I was just looking at like a piece by a fashion platform, right? They're not as like compelling to me now because now that Vogue has come in and like Vogue is producing more stories, blah blah. So anyway, this fashion website, this platform is quite mainstream at some point in the past. I think they published one clean cause looks. looks for none of that. And I guess editors back then weren't as critical when it comes to like the story behind the person. They were just, after all, talking about fashion, talking about the look, right? The dress, the assembled pieces of clothing. Oh, and we are still able to discern the kind of storytelling or intention behind that piece. And I guess my recommendation for like editors at some point in the future would be to really just be more about the story they produce, in the sense that don't just focus on the product, you focus on the person and their journey and how it got them right now. Your job is going to highlight the summer looks of Carla Singson. We are disregarding the journey and the process that was involved in, you know, bringing Carla to that. And that in itself is worthy of like inclusion or exclusion. Depends on who you are looking at, right? So if you are celebrating an influencer's achievement or an influencer's look, take a moment to maybe just reflect on what is the story behind that. So, and as we, that's something for us to ask and engage the media with.
So I was going to say that you're right. Like, we can't blame the media, because at the end of the day, the media is catering to what the public wants to see sometimes. And I mean, I'm not going to lie. Like, there are certain things like advertorials, diba, where these companies pay for a story so that their story can be told a certain way. And of course, this is how these media outlets stay afloat and pay their writers and editors and designers, of course. I think it goes back to like how discerning people are. And for me, as long as there's no lying, like actual lying involved, because unfortunately, I don't think all media people are, you know, that lying is beneath them. Some people definitely lie, and some people definitely like just follow where the money comes from. I think that because there's the internet, and we can have more people can have access to these conversations, I think it still goes back to your advice of being critical. But now both of the media, for me, both of like the media outlet and the story. And also, I think people should be more discerning on what kind of story they're reading. Like, if it's a lifestyle story, it's a lifestyle story. You know, there's no lifestyle story that will tell their something else, you know? So, yeah, you can't expect Tatler to deliver, you know, a report on on
corruption.
Good luck.
I guess collectively, people who are producers of media and stories, you know, we tend to be just obsessed about curating or editing. You know, that we forget that, you know, we need to consider like other facets of the story, like whether it is really worth including in your publishing lineup or not. We need to be more discerning at some point, because it's very easy to get excited about the story, right? It's very easy to get excited about, oh, I want to talk about my vacation in Paris or something like that, or oh, I want to talk about what she wore in Paris. It's so exciting, but then we forget about the many other things.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that especially the young people, I think that they're not really also incentivized to look further or think more. They press like, you know, the heart. It's very easy for you to press that. Share something. It's very easy. This takes probably a nanosecond to decide if you want to share something or make something more famous and make that a representation of your personal beliefs and your personal, like, parang sources of admiration. Because these actions on social media are so quick and so fast and so thoughtless. So you have a nephew, no, Jesse? You have nephews, you have nieces, you have Angelo, who looks up to you as a role model. Do you have conversations with younger people of younger generation about what's happening right now? And what are these conversations like, if ever?
Well, I can only go as far as speaking to the Gen Z, not to like kids at the age of like 12.
But, yeah, they're not on, I know, private jets.
But I you know what I like about like the my younger peers, right? Like the younger sister of my friend, your younger sister, for example, they are very receptive to these conversations and they want to become a part of a conversation that matters. It's just that I guess they're confused or they don't know where to begin. And so, and what's worse is they are dominated by all of these social media content that is essentially just telling them to follow and to do what is asked of them. Influencer things, right? So I guess the kind of springboard that they require to be able to participate in more impactful conversations are this: us listening to us, being able to find that more tangible idea of our example of the bigger picture where they are affected, and starting there, using their voice to express how they feel about it, and making, as you said earlier, making the experience more granular and close to home.
Yeah, I like that. And like what you shared earlier about like just constantly reminding that the importance of growing up and providing value to society is tied to hard work and tied to education, diba? Like following the proper path, no?
Right.
And maybe repeating stories of people who have done it, glorifying our friends who have done it. I think like these little day-to-day things can really make a difference. And of course, the other side of it is, yes, resenting these icons, these families that are corrupt and have obviously operated their lives through ill-gotten wealth and trying to pass that off as influence. I think that there's definitely a lot to be done in terms of shaping that conversation, shaping that narrative, so that we can, at least in our own way, no, like influence the younger generation to think like how they're supposed
yeah,
to.
totally.
Yeah.
And I like that you brought this up because I think there are a bunch of research that's pointing to more wider access of media and technology among the younger age, and they too need to be equipped with how to process the information that comes to them and how they can in return form their ideas and participate in the conversation.
Yeah, like it's, you know, you're already online, so you might as well give yourself a lot of resources or expose yourself to the right types of influence. So last question, this is quite a personal question. Did your life change when this issue blew up, or did what clicked in you? What you know, is there something, what deep thoughts did you have? I'm just curious.
Well, it gave this whole episode gave me a better appreciation of influencer culture because it made everything so transparent. It it's so easily accessible and tangible. On the other hand, of course, it's disheartening. I am not as debilitated personally, but there's that lingering feeling in my head that is constantly reminding me to be critical, but to also exercise like a sense of censorship, because I am at this point afraid to verbalize my thoughts and opinions. But I'm glad that I have you, and you just enabled that.
Because I'm an enabler.
We need these conversations. It's just that at some point maybe they will be taken used against us, and then, you know, these people in power, they want to silence this kind of conversation, but there's already many of us talking about it. And we thank the internet for that, that finally, you know, there's democracy at work. There's watchdogs everywhere. The only danger is that the information can be too overwhelming, and then we no longer know whom to listen to. So it pays to strike a good balance of listening and also expressing.
Yeah. Actually, to be honest, my initial feeling was, how can I pay less taxes? Like, oh my God, this is so annoying. How can I pay
That's
less taxes?
valid.
Yeah, I was like, how can I give the least amount of money to the government? Of course, innocently, like, not innocently, but like, that's a very shallow way of thinking, I would say. Of course, our taxes still fund a lot of very legitimate projects, and I have been a benefit. I have benefited from a lot of government projects. But of course, it annoys me that, I hear this news. So I don't live in the Philippines now, right? So I hear this news about like PhilHealth, like going bankrupt or something like that. Like, obviously, there's no truth to it. But like all of these government departments or initiatives that are losing budget. And then the other side of that is there's these ghost projects, flood control projects that are not even doing well. And so for me, as a business owner, who has paid taxes and have people who pay taxes, like I employ people, so meaning like I make it, I'm also a channel for them to pay taxes.
Yes.
It really gives me a very conflicting feeling of, well, what else is there to do? No, it also honestly makes me feel a little helpless because like I can't not help fund the police or the or PhilHealth, diba, or something like that. Like these are services that are needed for the Filipino, but is there a way for us to n actually know where our taxes go and be more critical about that? I honestly don't know. Honestly, it makes me feel a little helpless. I felt resentment. And yes, I will do the small thing as like I will support small businesses more. I will be more mindful. But at the end of the day, aside from being loud on social media, I honestly don't know what else I could do.
Right. I totally get where you're coming from, and I empathize because it is frustrating. It is maddening. And I can't help but think, when will this end? And will the day ever come where
Meteor.
all of us,
It all
yes,
goes
meteor,
back to the
to the
meteor should just
meteor.
hit the earth. Just kidding.
When will that meteor come? Or when will our trust in the higher power come back, right? Because right now there are so many voices that are just coming in and out, and they are, to me, making us feel overwhelmed and helpless. And it's important that, yes, we have these conversations, and to also really just be hopeful that, yeah, at some point we are going to live better days, but maybe not anytime soon. So better hope, better pray for that meteor.
Oh my gosh. I know. And on that note pala, I just remember that there are some people that are really standing out in this issue, like Vico Soto, diba? He has quite
I like that he's so vocal about it.
he has a reputation for being one of the good guys, and I hope that he's one of the good guys really. And I've also seen some celebrities that are and a lot of business people actually that are also voicing out how about this issue. I think Angie Mead King, I
Oh,
don't know if you saw
yeah.
her post. She's really gung ho about this. So I love that more people with influence are also in this fight with us. I think that's the part that make me like not feel as helpless and sad and just
Because
purely
we're not
like
alone,
resentful. You're
right?
not alone, exactly. I think more Filipinos should feel that they're not alone. Because if your life is tough and if you're trying to make it to your next paycheck and if you know secretly in your heart that you're one hospital bill away from being deep in debt, like that feeling makes you hate so easily, talaga.
That's so true.
Kasi you have a stable job and some investments and some savings. I have a business, some investments, some savings. So our reality is very different from the regular Filipino that's trying to get by.
Meteor, please. What is was if you what's your takeaway from this episode of Our Lives?
My takeaway, the first thing that comes to my mind right now is it opened my eyes on actually how uncritical we are as a society, and how we don't question a lot of things more.
Right.
It made me think if that is because of the Filipinos' attitude of being people pleasing, service oriented. We have been colonized so many times. We are known to be more like submissive, diba, in terms of a society. And I also realize how there's not enough punishment, for both punishment and incentive. That there, I realize that there's not enough punishment for people that are doing these like bad things, corrupt things. And I also realize the incentive for these things getting caught is not highlighted. Like I shared earlier, parang if these people with resources, these families and companies with resources can do something, that they can also be incentivized for it, I think that they will do it. But I don't think there's enough incentive. I think those are like my takeaways. And in my personal life, actually, I felt a renewed sense of pride, honestly, that I built everything I built through. I'm not self-made in a way that I did not get help or I did not have privilege. I definitely had some privilege in terms of my parents being smart, my parents being amazing parents, some people who have introduced me and brought me in rooms where I didn't even belong, just so I can expand my network. But in a way, I felt a renewed sense of pride that I worked hard for everything that I've earned, and enough to make me look at things critically. I think
I
that's it.
love that.
Yeah. What about you? You made me think, huh? You
Yeah,
made me
you
not
know.
feel so sad about all the resentment I was talking about earlier and helplessness.
Well, definitely one is like my confidence in like in the collective because of the collective sentiment. My confidence in my fellow Filipinos have been renewed that, all of us really are still hopeful for that day that we're all gonna live better lives, but it's not going to be easy for us to get there. The conversations are really gonna get ugly as we are as we see right now. But there's that sense of hope. That's one. And number two, I guess this episode is teaching me so many things about our use of the platforms, the media platforms that we have right now. We have everything that we need to send out a message, but we are left to our own devices, whether we produce a message of hope or a message of extravagance. We are being given the chance and freedom to choose. What do you want to tell to your thousands of followers every day, right? There's that. So, hope and a sense of freedom, like you, there the possibilities are endless. It's just not going to be perfect.
Yeah, I like that. I like that. Especially like you said, like we all have access to the internet, and we all actually all have voices, no? And that gives me hope as well. So yeah, it's going to be a very telling time. It's going to be a very telling time on who will be on whose side. So I hope, Jesse, that no one from the Nepo Baby accounts and the questionable corrupt families will try to court you or try to propose marriage, because I think you will say yes and dive into the life of extravagance.
And you will and just like that, you will stop hearing from me. I will live a very
Yes.
private life.
Exactly. So that is ano pala, that is the ending of this ano. And then you will pay
Yes.
me like shut up money to delete this episode and to
Of
stop talking.
course.
Yeah,
You'll be
through.
for you're foremost in mind.
Yeah, and you will set up my account in the Cayman Islands, and you know, and then I'll see you there in the
Yeah, we'll see
Bahamas.
each other there.
So
That's so true.
my hope and prayer is that no amount of money can make us actually give up our values.
I
I'm
love
not sh
that.
I'm
Thank
not
you for
sure. I
reminding me. I
Asterisk.
will do my best.
I will do your best. I see. Do your best. So, yeah, well,
Okay.
Jesse, thank you so much. This has been a really amazing conversation I got to tap into the PRU, the journalist you, the Filipino you, the regular human inside you. So I'm
And the
really
Nepo ba
grateful.
and the Nepo baby wannabe, me.
The Nepo baby wannabe, exactly. And or a future Nepo baby fiance. I think that is the only way that you will shut up or that you will stop, parang
Right.
believing your values if you're offered
Right.
that. Just kidding.
Correct. Well, thank you too, Carla, for having me. I like that this conversation, shared a sense of hope and really an appreciation of like small businesses and like the people who are working hard to just find success, in a way that is not dictated by consumption lifestyles today.
Yeah. So if any one of you listeners have an assignment today, number one, support a small business
Right.
that you know is built by an honest, hardworking person. And number
Like
two,
Carla.
yes, shout out. And number two is report the social media, just kidding.
Everybody.
Report the social media account of the Nepo baby. No, I'm just kidding. But yeah, live your life in a way that you can be proud of. That's it.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Carla. This has been very inspiring and very thought-provoking.
All right. Thank you so much, Jesse. And to everyone, to all of our listeners, if you love this episode, please share it to someone that you really care about and someone that you want to have these conversations with and spare a little bit of time for reflection before you go and work to pay your taxes to give to these Nepo babies. So. Thank you so much, and see you guys in a few weeks for another episode of None of Your Business. Bye. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions. If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week, and remember, everything here is none of your business.